He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
I'm going to talk about a very, very, very familiar story. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Esther. I want to obey God more than to be popular. Amen. Please, it's not in the New Testament. Please. It's just before Job, which is just before Psalms. Okay? So please do your best. Esther chapter 1, reading for verse 1. The sins of Vashti. Amen. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 172 provinces. That in those days, when the king sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 days. When these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. Some of you, you give us plastic disposable cups. The vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to Vashti's father, which belonged to Vashti, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of a king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehoman, Bista, names for your children, Habona, Bikta, Abakta, Zata, and Carcass. The 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. Hallelujah. Now this is a long story, so we will read as we go along. A very large portion of Esther chapter 1 starts with who the king Ahasuerus was. And the Bible says that this man reigned from India to Ethiopia in Africa. And that his empire was vast and was able to keep all these people under control, because in those days there were a lot of battles. When you fight, then you conquer, then you take land, then you fight. So he was a very strong man and he was a very powerful man. From India to Ethiopia, he reigned. And he had 127 provinces. Ghana has, what, 10 districts? America has 50-something. And this one is 127. And then he threw a party. First of all, this was the third year of his reign. He made a feast unto all princes, all the servants, the power of Persia and Media, the power, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. They all came, the great, the power of Media, the power of America, the power of Ghana, the power of India, the power of Ethiopia. They all came and presented themselves before him. They were not little shots. They were big shots. And the big shots, when they were called to the party, they came and they presented themselves before a great king like that. Some of you, when you have parties, you are always saying, bring this card along. Because if more than the number comes, you cannot feed them. Your logistics will go haywire. And you want to be so strict. I said, please, bring this card along. And then you also write that, regrets only, so that you can count properly and plan properly. But after inviting the princes and the rulers and the powers of Persia and Media, he also invited all the people, both great and small. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that he made them feast for 7 days. You, your 4 hours. You are always calling. Please give me a little malt. Do you have this there? You are always struggling. But this man, he was able to hold a feast for so many days. And the Bible says that the drinks, you could take what you want according to each man's bounty. How come you is only minerals and malts? If they ask for water, I say, because it's bringing problems to your house. But in this situation, there was such an abundance that he didn't care. Anything you ask for, hey, from Asana, he can give you. Malta Guinness, he can give you. I once asked a brother, what would you like to drink? And he said, Guinness. And I said, what? A Christian? He said, Malta Guinness. But even if that was the case, they were not afraid. Red wine, white wine, Dubonnet, those of you who were champions in the world, you know. All the different martinis. Anything you asked for, this man could give you. And he spent days presenting his splendor. Showing what he has. Days. You, when you open your wardrobe small, we see everything you have. Within a short time, we know all your assets. When you are going for visa, they say, bring your bank statement. We just take a casual look and we can see everything. But this man's riches, for it to be on display, it had to take days. And the Bible has taken its time to tell us the decor. Marble. Mother of pearl. I mean things. Some of us, we sit on tiles and now even God cannot talk to us. Just tiles. You have become something else. But this was a very great man. And then as the feast went on, not only was the feast glorious and all that, his wife Vashti also was also meeting in the women in another part. Somewhere. You want to have a party, even when it's 100, no, you have to go and hire a hall. And you have to be calculating 100, yeah. Bring it down, 15 small problems. Look, this. Now this one, the wife also was holding a meeting for the women in the palace built by Ahasuerus, a different place. Amen. Now, this man has had a lot to drink. And on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded seven of his servants to go for his wife. He didn't send one. He didn't send two. God's perfect number. He said, go and bring my wife to me. Go and usher her into my presence. Seven chamberlains. And when they went, Vashti said, and what was she being called for? The king said, come. And said, with a crown royal, come and show your beauty. Let me show you off. Let me show all the women that you are supreme and you are the one. And many people would say, oh yes, I would like to go. But when they called Vashti, she said, me? Where? Before who? He's had a little to drink, hasn't he? Yeah. Many times, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords calls us into his presence. And we are so busy with our own ministries and our own things that we are doing. We are also meeting the women and we are also in a palace. But we forget that the palace was built by the King of Kings. And that it is he who has made all things possible. So when God calls it, it's an inconvenience. When God calls it, oh, these people, they like doing that too much. When God calls it, oh, it's not my priority. When God, I have other things I would like to do. And God even sometimes gives us dignity and sends seven chamberlains so that we won't just walk, you know, alone like that, sauntering. Some of you too, you don't know how to walk. But bring seven chamberlains so that when my queen is coming, they will know that she's a queen. She's being escorted. That I'm calling her into my presence. And Vashti does not mind who the messengers are. She says, I'm not coming. End of story. And the reason why Vashti made this mistake, I believe one of the reasons, is that she either had forgotten or did not know who the king was. She had lowered him to just being her husband. And she had equalized him with affirmative action. And so when he gave that command as a king, she couldn't respond to it. Perhaps with the passage of time, respect had gone away. And also with him being her husband, she was so familiar with him and had seen all his humanness. So now the Bible said he sat on his throne. That's how the Bible described it. And had all this merrymaking and all that. He sat on his throne. And when he sits on the throne, it's another place. The throne is not the bedroom. The throne is another place. It's a place of authority. It's a place where he has been set. Because the Bible says God sets down up another and pulleth down the other. Hallelujah. So it's a place of authority as king. He was then acting as king. And he was saying, official protocol. Go and bring my wife. And the wife said, I'm not coming. You see, last week you misbehaved. So I'm not coming. Whether I disgrace you in front of the chamberlains, whether the chamberlains go with a certain idea, I don't care. It's my feeling, how I feel, my opinion, and my response to the things of life. And many times, we treat our husbands the same way. And we have become so used to them that we don't recognize their authority, God's call on their lives, who they are in the realm of the spirit, who they are. Sometimes even God opens your eyes to see physically that this is a powerful man. You say, oh, it's just because these church small girls are running around. I am not. So even when they call you and people are running to go, you dear, I'm not one of those. She had forgotten who her husband was. She had forgotten his fear of influence. Princes had come. Lords from provinces. From India to Ethiopia. They had come. The servants in the palace, both great and small, were all at this feast. Great people who, when they were called, they just presented themselves. But you, because you are a wife, when you are called, it has now become a burden and a problem. Because you are looking at your heads. You are looking at your grudges. You are looking at the man's weaknesses. You know, you married a man But you married a man whom God has put his hand on. Hallelujah. The Bible says every high priest appointed by God is taken from among men, not from among angels. Hallelujah. Not from among little gods, but among men, that he may be a faithful high priest. Hallelujah. So every high priest appointed by God is taken from among men. It's not taken from somewhere else. And because he's taken from among men, you don't recognize him. You don't have spiritual eyes. You don't have spiritual respect. You don't mind who you act up before. You just feelings. And then you, phanerosis, you manifest fully what it is. You see, and sometimes we don't even have to be so vocal. But our own ways, we will make it in such a way that you cannot be in the church. We'll make it in such a way that we will destroy you and you will be far away. We don't need bazookas and scud missiles. And our weapons are powerful. Our comments. Sometimes not even a long sentence. Is that so? Is that so alone? It looks like a neutral statement, but it's not. God forbid, if they go and ask you, what do you think about, hey, you will send the person to hell and back. What do you think about this meeting that we have? What you will say? The whole church will end up somewhere else. Because Ahasuerus is calling you. And you think he's just Ahazi. You know? You are not seeing him for who is Ahazi, Ahazi. But beyond being your husband, he's a powerful and precious vessel of the Lord. And the Lord has called him unto himself. And the Lord has a mission for him. And the Lord has a vision for him. And may you not be the one who frustrates that vision. Hallelujah. Seven chamberlains. Even for just decorum's sake. Just take it that, oh, the seven chamberlains have come. So even if I don't feel like coming or I'm busy, let me go myself and whisper in his ear that I'm actually busy. But you send them away. It's like, go. After all, what? I'm queen. My position can never be taken. You become a queen because you are married to a king. You don't know, eh? If you are married to somebody else, you are not a queen. Amen. You are a wife, but you are not a queen. But his place that God has put him makes you also a queen. And gives you also a place in the ministry to which God has called him. Hallelujah. You see? But they are calling you and say, hey, anything about the ministry, you have another opinion. You fight. You fight the ministry with your mouth. You fight the ministry with your words. You destroy people under whom your husband is under people. You destroy people who are above him with your comments and your somewhereness. There's no fruit of the Spirit. And you forget that that ministry was what even brought your husband and yourself together. That ministry was the one that created the forum for you to even meet your husband. That ministry was a place where your marriage was blessed. That ministry was a place where you received counsel. Today, when they call you, the chamberlains, go and tell him that I have better things to do. He knows I'm having women's ministry. He knows I'm meeting in a palace just like his. Just like his. We are all meeting in two palaces. And we are all busy. We are all royalty. So what's the big deal? May the Lord forgive us. Amen. Verse 13. You see, the Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore, the king was very angry. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Kashena, Shetha, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Messina. The names are here more. Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen, Vashti, according to the law? Because she has not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes, and to all the people that are in all the provinces, for the king Ahasuerus. Vashti did not recognize the extent of her behavior. And she did not recognize the extent of her mistakes. And she didn't recognize that being queen, when you do something, every pastor's wife, lady pastor, you are in a place of authority, whether you like it or not. And when you do something, it has a ripple effect. So the king is worried, and the people can see from his face that things are not well. You see, when we do our things, it disturbs and it doesn't bring the right flow. Hallelujah. What shall we do? You manifest, Anna, we don't know what to do. What shall we do? And Memucan said that the queen has not done wrong to the king alone, but to all the princes, the nobles, and all the people who came. Many times, the reason why we misbehave is because we see only our little world. And we don't see the scope of our influence and our authority. You see, one pastor was saying that there was a flow in his church till he married. And when he married, his wife, you know, at the beginning we are all docile, meek and mild, but it's time that shows, not the beginning. The beginning is honeymoon. So now they saw that their wives, their associates, their wives were being turned against them. We've been together for years. What happened? It was this new lady who was coming. Because when something happens, she would tell the associate wives, as for me, I don't stand for such things. I think that when somebody misbehaves like that, you should also have recourse. And you should also behave like a large church. It's over. It's over. It's not history. It's not something I read in, what, Nanama advises you, doesn't come anymore. In the mirror, in the spectator's real life, the church is over. The three associates, this one has gone to look for a job here. This one, bishop was telling me, oh, this one works in this country now. This one called, they didn't know what to do. Uncontrollable. Your things. And you have scripture too, to back it. Because we can spiritualize everything. And she still doesn't see. I mean, even if you can't see, look at the effects and say, I can't see, but this thing that has happened, they said their children, they're older. Their children who were in the ministry with them have all turned away because of this woman. They've gone. And she can even see you, a staff member, and give you a slap. So she went, they met her, she said, I have a problem with rage, but I don't have a problem with jealousy. It's rage, but jealousy, I don't have a problem. But you can see that the church has finished them, and it's gone. The effect is not only on your husband, your household, your marriage, but it's on the entire body of Christ and the church of God. And so you have to, reason a little. You know, think deep, ponder over your actions. Sela, it's true. So she has not only sinned against the king, but she has sinned against all the people in authority. She has made all of us like nothing. She has made all of us small. She has sinned against even all the provinces, the people in the provinces. Verse 17. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women. Look, whether you call yourself role model or not, people look at you. And people are influenced by it. So that this thing, it will go abroad to all women. Vashti did not have to have a convention and call all women and say, you know, from now going, when your husband calls you, don't come. Or don't see your husband as anything special. Or don't, well, it's a spirit. When you are in authority, there's something called spiritual things. And you can easily transmit a wrong spirit. So the Memucan is saying that she has not sinned only against you, but against all of us. And this thing will spread abroad unto all women. You don't have to preach. You don't have to put it on a tape. You don't have to do a DVD. Your actions alone is enough preaching.
You are listening to Honey on My Lips with Lady Reverend Adelaide Howard Mills. Stay tuned in. Welcome back.
Do you think that God will sit down for you to just football his church anyway? The Bible says even about communion, that because they don't discern the Lord's body, many are sick and many fall asleep. Just communion, because you don't discern the body. And in the same way, sometimes as lady pastors and pastors' wives, we don't discern the body. Discernment means not just looking, but discerning, a deeper understanding and seeing of things. And we don't discern the body. So when they say, oh, this person has asked, oh, let her go. After all, what? The church will grow. After all, what? Hey, take it easy. Oh. Take it easy. It's his body. Whether it's a toenail, an ear, it's God's body. And because we ourselves are not spiritual, we don't see the church and the people in the church in that way. We see them as carnal. This girl, even she was my junior in school. Carnality at another level. But if we will see that it's God's body, and that if Jesus were there, would you say this? That the Holy Spirit said, you are a Christian. You're not a Christian some days. You're not a Christian in front of people. Say, my child, I mind the kind of words you use. I mind. Whether it's in the chamber or it's in the hall, I mind. And thank God for that. Amen. Say, it will be noised abroad, and all the women will despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. How can everybody become like Vashti? Because we have an inbuilt thing that when something happens, it opens a certain door. And it gives a certain idea of some liberty. That, oh, if the big people are doing this, we can all flow. And some of us, we even quote it in our home. I say, look, the last time, didn't you hear that Ahazi called Vashti and she didn't go? Me too. Now, I want you to know that, because you are energized by what you experience, what you see, and what goes unpunished. So people say that the women in the province, they won't even have a meeting, but just Vashti's actions. So Vashti didn't know the extent of her actions. She didn't know who she was touching. And many times in the Bible, women touch generations yet unborn. You see, when you look at Sarah, her seed is for generations. Mary, for generations. Elizabeth, for generations. So your seed is for generations, not just for the now. How come you are always living in the now? How come you cannot discern? We are reading on. It shall be reported that King Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Verse 18. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes, which have heard of the deed of the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. He's saying that the nation will become ungovernable because of one woman's personal pride, arrogance, stubbornness. The whole nation, there will be contempt, there will be wrath, and every home will be affected. But as you were doing your thing in your house, you thought it was just you. As you were giving your comments in your house, you thought it was just you. You were not thinking of households in the whole of Persia and Media. But that's the extent. You see, many times as Christians, we don't see the extent of our disobedience. I think that if Eve had seen the extent of her disobedience, she wouldn't have eaten the apple. But what Satan does is that he trivializes the things he gets us involved in as women. And we think that, oh, it's just this. Oh, but she's annoying. Oh, but it's just this. If she won't come, she shouldn't come. After all, it's just that. After all, it's just an apple. But when you eat it, cancer, disease, betrayal, broken relationships, incurable diseases, HIV, pain, death, which was not there before, all came through an apple. Through an apple. And through Vashti just saying, I won't go. Simple statement. I won't go. Three words. You don't have to write a thesis. So there will be wrath and contempt in the place. Mary's disobedience could have cost us our salvation. And you never know the extent of your disobedience till it happens or till you obey. What do I mean by that? When I go around to Lighthouse churches and I see the branches, I see the pastors, I see the lay ministers, I see the lady pastors, I say to God, God, thank you for helping me support a vision I didn't know would be so great. It looked like nothing in the school of hygiene. It looked like only 5 people. I didn't know that would be, but thank you for giving me the grace to just be involved, to give of my best, and to just flow. Because we're all these people in our womb. We're all these people in our spiritual womb. And I could have said, oh, let's just go to America. What ministry to? After all, other people will take care of the church. God has called us. Let's go and specialize. You do cardio, and I will do legislative drafting and something else. You know, and then we'll become 2 great professionals. And as you are staying in America, you will never know the extent of your disobedience. Everything will look normal. Because you won't see what could have been. So let us always know that there are things in our wombs, things in the wombs of the Holy Spirit that it has to bring forth. Amen. And you can never outgive God. But you will always pay a price. Hallelujah. You can never, 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 never outgive God. But you will always pay a price for it. Amen, ladies. You will never see. You have been sent. Go and pass a check. I won't go. Go and do this. A drug addict is waiting. A Yonggi Cho is waiting. A Billy Graham is waiting. But you won't know. It is when you obey that you will know. So never just look at, oh, disobedience. I'm just shaking my waist a little. Hey. Amen. Amen. Verse 19. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him. And let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Not another that is more beautiful, but better because of behavior. Because the Bible says Vashti was a beautiful woman, but beauty can be replaced. Amen. Amen. That's why Miss Ghana, the beauties are 10 and then they choose. And then that's why when you are Miss Ghana in 2000, 2001, there's a new Miss Ghana. You cannot be following such things. Amen. Amen. But these people said that let the laws of the country be altered. That is how important your actions are. It can affect even the very laws of a country. The very laws by which a country is governed is changed by a woman's somewhereness to her husband. Some witness to the head or authority that God has given her. How can that be? And the only laws that are unalterable, well, even that are altered, but entrenched provisions in the Constitution. In the Constitution, there are certain articles that you can't just change. For instance, that there should be a president, that you can't just come and change it. And even the other aspects of the Constitution, when you want to change it, you need a 2/3 majority. You need this. You need, but this Vashti's behavior is changing the entrenched provisions of the country. So I said, women are powerful. We don't need much. I always love to say, Delilah, she had only a pair of laps. She doesn't have to be a governor, a senator, council of state. No, just her lap. She never carried the gates of Gaza. She never fought any major Philistines. But at a point, the Philistine army realized that for real power, we need to go to Delilah. It's not the laws of the Philistines and the army commanders. It's Delilah. And when they told Delilah, see how? Oh, that's easy. Even it's expense-free. I don't have to spend any money. I don't have to buy anything. I just have to provide a pair of laps for Samson. Once he sleeps there, he doesn't think. Once he sleeps there, he forgets all his covenant with God, what God has called him to become. I don't need any bazooka. You see, men fight with bazooka, scud missile, move here, a lot of energy. But as for labs, dear. Amen. And she just said, Samson, come. After a good meal, and he comes to sleep there. And the woman tricks you. And Samson, tell me your pain. You say, ropes. Then you are bound with ropes. Then you get up and you shake yourself. You don't learn. Three times. Three good times. The power of laps. Three times. And those of us who are married should learn that power and use it. Amen. Amen. But she doesn't need any grace. The Bible says that by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Not a loaf, oh, not a slice, but a piece. A piece that when you do this. And doesn't say a great man, a lowly man, a middle class man, a man. By means of a whorish woman. Is brought down to a piece of bread. So Samson, you have muscle, you have this, but small chop. It's not difficult. Laps. Enough. I can slay you. The Philistines cannot slay you, but I can slay you. I can abort God's call. I can turn you around. The Bible says Samson went out to shake himself as he usually did, and he wist not that the Spirit of God had left him. Delilah brings you to a place where God's Spirit leaves you. We are powerful, oh, even our walk alone. Say, do you agree? Hey, you haven't said anything. But you have said. You have said a lot. And you have changed the laws of the whole church. The laws of the whole country. But I say, oh, ask for stuff from me. I don't know. You know fully. You know what you are doing. The Lord deliver us from being Vashti's. Amen. Amen. That Vashti come no more before the king. You thought that was just one dismissal. It was to be forever. You had given up your place forever. You had given up the privilege. You see, every time, sometimes, somebody is offering you something. Somebody is calling you to a place. God is calling, oh, come. I want to use you. I'm interested in you. I want you to do this for me. I want to pour my anointing on you. I need you to reach these people. Oh, God, I have things to attend to. I have my own interest to look into. I have my own position to preserve. I have my own reputation to work around. God, God is calling you. The king is calling you into his presence. You never come. At a point, it will be said that come no more. Come no more. Open doors don't stay open always. Your husband is encouraging you in the ministry. Try and rise and say, I won't come. Sing in the choir, I won't do. Because you feel that you are doing it for him. But what is actually happening is he's just trying to encourage you. To look for your giftings. To help you. But you are saying no. Used to be in the choir. Because he said this. I won't join anymore. Mba, inya. You won't come to church anymore. As time goes on, we become used to not being with you. We become used to not having you at services. In the beginning we'll ask, oh, where is Sister Doris? Where is Sister Marion? Where is Sister Joy? At a point... We get used to Sister Joy, Sister Mary not being around. And we just carry on. And everybody forgets about you. But you thought that you were doing that to make a statement. But actually, you have lost your place forever. Due to your anger, your unforgiveness, your inability to let things go. I won't come. They use me, for example, for preaching. So I will not sit in front again. Very soon, they'll put ashes there. They'll put the choir there. They say, now when I come, then there's nobody. Now when I come, then they don't know me. We don't know you because... the church cry, you don't come. So now we don't know you anymore. Let her come no more into the presence of the king. We are always asking when the church is starting. Oh, please, can you make programs? Oh, please, can you do announcement? I have children. I have things to think about. I can't do this. Then as the church grows, God releases more laborers. And more laborers who are willing to work. Then now when you are not being called to, you say, why did it come no more? Come no more. I have learned that your place of blessing is also your place of pain. But you must not be guided by pain. Most of the time, women feel, though, if it's painful, then I don't have to do it. Hey, Jesus' death was painful, but he paid the price because it was worth it. And I always say that Hannah, that Shiloh temple was a place of pain for her. Every time you go, Penina will do her things. She will call her children, come, let's go and do the sacrifice. Hey, Ebo, Kweku, Inshira, Gloria, man. It's not necessary to mention this, but she will mention. And then she will wear white cloth. And on that day, they will actually sit at the back. And then when they call them, okay, the Okana family, then she will be waving her white hanky. Then the man who sees nothing will say, oh, but she was just waving a hanky. But you know that. Sentences were spoken. Sentences. And as she comes and she walks to the front, then you, Hannah, the Okana family, then you are coming at the back. You don't have anybody. So, Lord, for how long am I going to be called? For how long am I going to go through embarrassment? For how long am I going to go through shame and public ridicule? If I this Shiloh, I won't go again. I will do my church at home. Satan will always give you a good reason. Satan will always say, God is everywhere. Oh, now, you know, Joel Osteen is my pastor. I do TV church. Because these church people, because offense. I'm telling you, offense can let you walk out of the house of God. It is real. It's so real. Offense, the way people behave, the things they say, the ingratitude of people. You know, sometimes the mind with which people do things. And sometimes you're in the church, you say, the people I'm ministering to, they don't wish me well. They are not happy about what I have. They don't flow with what I have. They wish they had what I had. All these issues. I won't come to the church anymore. At a point, the king will not call you anymore. Because you are not guided by the spirit. You are not guided by the word. You are guided by your emotions. And if we were all to go by our emotions, we will not be here today. And if we were all to go by how we feel, we will not even move on again. We will just be weeping buckets. And we will never become what God has to wants us to become. By your place of pain, your tears will water the new life that God wants to give to you. Hallelujah. So Hannah, she kept coming every year. She kept coming every year, even if it was the wrong way, because she kept responding just to her rival. Instead of doing the right thing, she was just responding, you know. So she could easily have given up. She kept coming. One day, God came through to her and said, this thing, Penina does you react. Penina does you react. That chain must be broken. Why don't you go into my presence and pray and do something differently this time? But if she had stopped coming, she would never have found a Shiloh to pour out her heart unto God. She would never have found a Shiloh to meet an Eli to speak a chalak word over her. It wouldn't have happened. So the magnitude of your pain is not what should lead you. You cry. Wipe your tears, straighten your face, and move on. Because pain is not a reason not to obey. Pain is not a reason not to come into the house of God. Pain is not a reason not to move on. And many of you in your marriages, the Lord is saying, you are just nursing the pain. Going around the pain. Looking at the injustice. But he's saying, wipe the slate clean and start all over again. Forget about what lies behind. Forget about whether I will come through or I will not come through. And just focus on me and move on. It shall be well. But if you are going to call a Sanhedrin, call a Supreme Court. Okay, so what are the things you don't like? Well, the thing has gone far. There's a time for everything. This is not the time to talk. The talking will not heal. It will tear further apart. But it's time to just change your heart and walk in love. And then at the right time, the other things will come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let her come no more. Into the presence of a king. And let the king give her royal estate unto another. It's not only your place that you lose, but everything that goes with your place. Hallelujah. not just physical, but also spiritual. Because wherever God calls you to, he gives you an anointing, a grace, and a certain endurance for that place. So when you are not sitting in that place, when the Holy Ghost comes, it does not find you there. And so not only is your position taken, but your royal estate, the things that should go with where you sit, will be taken away from you. Because you are busy fighting your own battles, and God cannot get through to you. And when the king's decree, verse 20, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, do you see, the empire is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both great and small. And the same pleased the king and the princes. And the king did according to the word of Memucan. They are saying that when we make such a law, throughout all this empire, all the wives shall begin to give honor to their husbands, both great and small. It means that Vashti's disobedience, what it was going to do, they were now trying to reverse it. And by reversing it, all wives from India to Ethiopia will now begin to honor their husbands. All wives, because of just one person. One wife, affecting all wives. Some of you have very bad geography, so you don't know India to Ethiopia. But all wives will now begin to honor their husbands. Do you think that if Vashti had sat down soberly and reflected a bit, perhaps she would have known the extent of her disobedience? Perhaps she would have known the extent of... You see, she could have had a good case saying that, but he's drunk, because the Bible says when his heart was merry, then he called for her. So it's not easy to obey a drunkenness, but he didn't say come naked, come stripped, come... It may be the wrong way or the wrong time, but there's still something in it that you can obey. Hallelujah. All wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. So even small husbands need to be honored. Whatever smallest. And some of us, we see our own husbands as small. And we don't honor them, but we honor our bosses because we are looking at power, position, anointing, but small. He's only a lay minister. He's only a shepherd. He has no post in the church. He can't buy me anything. He's not powerful. He cannot... But all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. And who measures smallness? And who told you that people just get up and become great? Their wives play a role in their greatness, but you don't know. You just say, hey, this man is very great. Do you know what it has taken for him to get to that place? Would you like to pay that price? When the mother of James and John came and said, oh, let my children sit on the right and the left. Bishop, Jesus said, can they be baptized with a cup that I am to be baptized with? Can they drink of that cup and to be baptized with the baptism whereof I'm supposed to be baptized with? So I've not thought about that one. I'm thinking about the chairs, but I'm not thinking about the cups and the baptism of fire. And many of us, we think about the chairs, but we don't think about the baptism. And we don't think about the cup. In fact, they are not seen. When people sit down, you don't see cups. You don't see fire. They look normal. They look cool, you know. So this seat, I would like to sit on it. But are you ready to be baptized with the fire and to drink the cup? Even small Gethsemane, you were not Jesus. You ran away. James, oh, you ran away big time. And then now you want to sit on that chair. Jesus says, it's not mine to give, but by the way, have you thought of what it takes to sit in that place? There's nothing that just falls down into our lap. Everything is with a price. And we must be prepared to pay a price. You pay a price for your calling. You pay a price for your obedience to God. You pay a price for your giftings. It will be there, but for it to come forth. You pay a price to walk with God deeply. You pay a price. Are we ready to pay that price? All wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. I think it's time to also turn our eyes unto our husbands, those of us who have husbands, and honor them. Hallelujah. As somebody said, my husband doesn't bring money. All he does is to kill mosquitoes around me. So when we are sitting there in the evening, say, hey, Ntutu, Ntutu, oh, this doesn't bring money. We want things that will bring results. But if you were to sit on that chair, you see something, you see Vashti's chair, and you say, oh, this, but you don't know that. You will be called at a time when you don't feel like coming. And we would never have known had she not disobeyed. But there was a price. And there was also a sphere of influence. So that when that law is made, all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. How come you are never able to honor your husband, but you are always honoring somebody out there? How come you are never excited about your husband, but you are always excited about somebody out there? How come? Because you are so carnal and you can't see anything. The Bible says they comparing themselves with themselves are not wise. All wives, both great and small. Verse 21, and the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word. For he sent letters into all the king's provinces. Now, this verse 22 shows us the sphere of influence that Vashti did not know she had. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. They are sending letters to everybody. I thought that if maybe a provisional head gets it, then he says, but to all peoples. And in everybody's language, it was very important. Otherwise, the kingdom will become ungovernable. It's a domestic issue, but it becomes an official issue. It becomes national kingdom issue, and then international borders, special media, different countries. That's how far our samwayness goes. And that's how far our obedience also goes. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, her obedience through one man, Adam, the second Adam, salvation has come to all of us. But if when God came to her, she said that, look, I don't want scandals, I don't want shame. I should go and stand there and say, it's by virgin birth. I mean, who will believe it? And you are coming to also disturb my relationship. Now that every trust will be broken. Joseph would think that, you know, I made a fast one. And then I'm pregnant. And then I'm saying virgin birth and all these things. Now you say that I'm going to give birth to a king. And then I thought that you would put me in a Sheraton, Golden Tulip or somewhere. You're going to put me in a manger. You, this God, cry. You see, I'm looking at my comfort. If you lead me, I cannot go into a manger, okay? You better tell me where I'm going to go. So when you go to this inn, there's no room in the inn. They say, oh, then I give up my savior birth. Because I'm looking at my comfort, what I'll get, what is nice, what is glittering, but it has to be in a manger. So that when the cows moo, the enemies will not hear. But in the palace, they'll find you easily. Hallelujah. So in the manger, I'm pregnant. You are now making a census. You say the power of the Holy Ghost will come upon me. I'm now sitting on a donkey. And then soon, when the baby is just very young, you say we should get up and fly to Egypt because Herod is, I'm in Basa. Now that's how God's call is. It will always call up your comfort. It will always call up something dear to you. But when you give your Isaac, God will give it back to you many times. Hallelujah. The last verse, chapter 2, verse 1. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And then the king's servant makes a suggestion. Let's look for a wife for you. It wasn't the king's suggestion. He remembered the thing she'd him. And sometimes we women will say, but I didn't do anything. He just called me and I said, I won't come. I didn't do it. Did I insult him? Did I? But your things, they are worse than insults and worse than what you would have said. You just said you won't come. But after all these things, the king remembered. And remembered what Vashti had done. And for him to even move on, it's a servant who says, oh, let's look for all the fair ladies and look for a wife for you. That was not his mind. May it not be that your actions push your husband to a place where he would not like to be. To a place where he has not thought of going. Into arms that he has not thought of going into. May it not be that it's your somewhereness that becomes a snare unto the man that God gives you. Unto the visionary that God brings into your life. May the Lord give us wisdom and give us insight and discernment to see far and not just here. May we see far. God bless.
It was great having you today. To find out more about the resources available by Adelaide Heward Mills, please visit the Vision Bookshop at the Kodesh, North Kaneshi, or meet her on Facebook at Reverend Mrs. Adelaide Heward Mills. For prayer and counseling, please call 0243-187-900. You can also drop us an email at honeyonmylips@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, God richly bless you.